Alex Ferrara, and I'm taking a deep dive into the world of beauty and women's health. I'm asking all the questions and trying every product and trend so you don't have to. Get ready for a little glam and a lot of info. This is Glow Up and Speak Out. Today I'm sitting down with Carmendy, the legendary makeup artist who has had such a long and successful career. You probably remember her from the hit TLC show What Not to Wear, which aired for 10 years. Carmendy's work has appeared in the editorial pages of Elle, Cosmo, InStyle, Marie Claire, Glamour, and many more. She has traveled the world and authored 4 best-selling books. Carmendy has always focused on enhancing women's natural beauty and is the founder of her own makeup line, Carmendy Beauty. She is the creator of the 5-Minute Face. She has taught so many of us how to do our makeup. So please welcome Carmendy.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
So good. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. You look beautiful.
So do you. Your skin looks epic.
Thank you. First of all, I have to tell the story of how we met. So I was super pregnant, still am, and I was not feeling well. And like, I really wanted to go to this event. And I got there and I had just climbed a million subway stairs and I was feeling like a disaster. And you complimented my earrings and it was so sweet. It was so sweet. I was like, oh my God. It took so long to like get pulled together. It was just one of those days. I was not feeling well anyway. So that was very, very kind of you.
Well, listen, you would have never known it because you were glowing. I looked at your skin and your like bright face and I'm like, who is this girl? You look great.
Oh my gosh, so sweet. And then, you know what was so cool is that I obviously grew up watching you on TV on What Not to Wear, and you really just led with this generosity and this warmth and like not a huge ego and empathy. And then to have that energy coming from you in real life was so cool, because we've all been disappointed by, oh, maybe you love someone on TV and then you meet them in real life and it's maybe not the same. But you are the exact same energy as you were giving on that TV show.
Well, I appreciate that very much. That was the miraculous thing about What Not to Wear as a reality show, is that we were not, I mean, yes, it was unscripted, but we were not forced to do anything. We were authentically ourselves. So we showed up because it was the first of its kind, right? So we were exactly who we were on TV as we were in real life.
Right. Okay. So I want to go back. How did this all start for you? You grew up in California. So what led you to makeup?
So growing up in Southern California, when I was really young, I was an overweight kid and I was teased and bullied relentlessly. And being in that kind of beach environment where everybody's like Baywatch and bikinis and surfing, and you know, you're the chubby kid that's getting picked on all the time. And my mother was a watercolorist and she used to take me to her art classes and I'd sit in the back, and it was a wonderful way to escape and start to see beauty in a different way. And I got really interested in makeup because I would be looking through all the fashion magazines as a kid and I'd be like, wow, how cool. And then in the little corners, it would say makeup artist, but you know, was so-and-so. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a job. So I would save up my allowance and I would go to the makeup store and buy makeup. And then I remember one year my dad made me one of these Hollywood style makeup mirrors with the bulbs all around it for Christmas. And I just started doing makeup on myself, on my friends. And I realized that using a watercolor approach to beauty, because my mom did watercolor, made me feel better. And when I felt better, I wanted other people to feel better. So I no longer felt insecure about myself from being teased and bullied. And it didn't matter what shape I was. It didn't matter what features I had. Playing in this medium made me feel good. And so it was my destiny. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, is I wanted to do makeup everywhere. And I also wanted to travel and go to all these places that I would see in the magazines. So that's kind of how it started. So by the time I was in high school, I was working at the local mall at a makeup store. And then met somebody who said their father was a Hollywood makeup artist. And I'm like, oh, cool, this is my in. So I went and I interviewed him. And I was probably about 16. And he said, there are these agencies in Hollywood where you can sign up as an assistant. So I drove my little Toyota Tercel all the way to Hollywood, walked in and said, I will assist for free. I was living at home with my parents, still in school. And I started assisting on the weekends. And that's kind of how it began. And lucky for me, there was a break about, I'd say 20 years old, where a makeup artist got sick and couldn't make the job. And they called me and said, hey, there's this team from Miami doing a swimwear catalog. Can you do it? And I went and did it. And that was the beginning.
That's amazing. Good for you. And then how did you get to New York?
So that same group of people that I shot with, they were from Miami. And at the time, this is the early 90s, where Miami was the heyday of fashion, you know, photo shoots. Cindy Crawford used to have a TV show on MTV called House of Style.
Yes.
That was always being shot there. Bruce Weber and Herb Brits and all these famous photographers were shooting down there. And so this team said, hey, we'd like to hire you to do the next swimwear catalog in Miami. And I went. And when I arrived, it was hairstylists, makeup artists, art directors, fashion designers, photographers, models. I was like, these are my people. This is where I want to be. And it was just, I never went back. I called my mom and dad and I said, I'm driving back or I'm flying back, driving home to Miami because that's my new home with all of my things. And I never went back. So I was in Miami for 2 years. I was in Europe and then I came to New York in 1996.
Wow. You just found your people. That's so cool. I always wished that I could just be in my 20s for like a year in the 90s and see what that was like, because I just feel like it was such a heyday pre-social media, pre-everything. I just feel like it was booming with media and music and fashion. It's just such a decade. I look back and I'm like, I wanted to catch a glimpse of it. It just seemed so cool.
It was really, really cool. And the thing was, it was much, much harder to find your tribe, right? Because you didn't have social media. You didn't know where the agents were, where the people were. You had to just, you know, really network. And I remember hearing when I was really young, it's all who you know. And I'm like, well, gosh, I don't know anyone. I'm from Huntington Beach, California. Who do I know? And I would just always say yes to jobs. And that way you would meet this person who knew that person. And it was just networking at a very young age without social media. And it's much easier these days. But it was also fun because you felt like you really earned it back then.
Right. But I do feel like that's really good advice though for now too, is to say yes to jobs, because I feel like that's where you do the real, people really get to see you when you're on a set, when you're on a job, they really get to see who you are, your personality, how you work.
Yes. And there's so many more nuances to being a professional makeup artist than just the artistry itself. There's the whole business aspect, the whole personality aspect. There is a, you know, this whole level of like, these people are in your hands face to face. You're very intimate with them. So you have to know what to say, what not to say, how to let things roll off your back. And back then fashion was very, I'd say abusive at times. And you had to learn not to take anything personally and the politics that went on. So yeah, being on set and really being there and saying yes to jobs that you wouldn't normally do, you always learn a lesson from it and you always gain knowledge. Again, trial by fire is really what it is, but in a way it makes you stronger and able to pivot and change and adapt to the surroundings.
Right. And the being good with people part, because sometimes you're part therapist because you're the last person that the person sees before their big shoot, their big moment, whatever. And they're probably nervous, or they get there having a bad day, or they just got a phone call and they're crying and you're the one talking to them first.
Boosting them.
Yes.
Sometimes they get there and they're just downright mean and vicious. And you have to think about, I have to get through this. And tap dance, because there's a photographer waiting, there's a stylist waiting, there is an art director, the editors are here. We have to get a job done. This is not about me and my feelings right now. This is about the collective group. How do I set aside what I immediately feel towards this person right now? Take a deep breath, be very zen about it, and get the job done. Then I can go home and be like, oh, I'm so glad that's over. But you, at the end of the day, you have to think about everyone else. And a lot of people that were at times difficult, you don't know what's gone on in their life.
Right.
You don't know what happened to them, or, you know, they might be projecting something that's really painful for them. So you have to have a lot of empathy and compassion as well in this job.
Right. It's a major skill. Do you have a favorite or a crazy story of those days on an editorial shoot, on a set?
I have so many stories.
One that you can share.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories was I was shooting at Ralph Lauren's house in Montauk. And we were shooting Ralph Lauren's daughter, Dylan Lauren, and she has Dylan's candy bar, which I'm sure
yes,
a lot of
yes, yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think she had just launched it, and we were shooting her for Self magazine. So we had a little trailer there, and I was doing her makeup. And Ralph Lauren walked in with his wife and said to me, "My daughter's never looked more beautiful. Her makeup's never looked better." And coming from Ralph Lauren himself, I just about fainted. It was the biggest compliment because I know his aesthetic is so specific, and that's what I'm known for, is the very light, natural look. Mm-hmm. And to hear it straight from the man who created that whole kind of idea of like the effortless, chic, natural, it was mind-blowing. So I'd say that's my favorite story.
And about his daughter, you know?
And about his daughter. Yeah.
That's so special. Is there anyone you've worked on who was surprisingly lovely? Or
oh my God. Yes, sure. So many people. Okay, a lot of you guys won't know Isabella Rossellini, who is a very famous actress.
I love her.
And model. And she just came back modeling again for beauty. She was divine. Cindy Crawford was divine. There's so many. Oh my God, Heidi Klum was awesome. She was really great. Lizzo was so much fun. I do these beauty tip of the days, and I'm like, "Lizzo, will you do a beauty tip of the day with me?" She's like, "Of course." I go, "What is it?" And she's like, "Hair toss, check your nails." I'm like, "Amazing." So yeah, I've had some really great, great experiences.
Your career is so interesting because you've done so much fashion and you've worked with celebrities, but also real people, and also so much education of teaching people the basics. So where did you come up with your philosophy? Which I think about my own beauty philosophy, and I look back and I think, I think that was probably from watching Carmendy on what not to wear.
I hope so. I was trying to get across something that I see as an artist, which is very unlike the majority of makeup artists out there. The majority of makeup artists out there, especially today, they try to shape-shift you into looking like a society standard of what beauty is. Mm-hmm. With contour, with fake lashes, mm-hmm. with, you know, these extreme layers and correcting everything to try to look like this one image. And I've never looked at beauty that way. And I always look at beauty like going to an art gallery. There's a Jackson Pollock next to a Frida Kahlo, next to a Rothko, next to, you know, they're all different types of art, but they're all beautiful. Just like if you go into a garden, and I wrote about this in one of my first books, there's cactus flowers and daisies and roses and tulips, and they're all different, but they're unique and they're all beautiful. And collectively, it makes for a garden. It makes for a gallery. Am I right? So when I got on What Not to Wear, it was one of the first of its kind of reality shows. And everyone in the fashion industry said, "You're going to ruin your career because it was so elevated being in fashion." And I said, "No, this is a way for me to take my childhood experience of being insecure and bullied and not thinking I was beautiful and being able to teach women everywhere in the country, whether they were retirees, new moms, girls going off to college, girls breaking up with a boyfriend and having to date again. How can I make them feel the most beautiful as themselves in their own skin with the features that they possess?" And that is when I created the 5-minute face. And the 5-minute face was a technique that I found when I was writing my first book. And it's a scientific study on when a woman is at her most beautiful. And if you look back through generations, and if you look back through decades and centuries, beauty standards change over time, but the one thing that remained consistent was a woman is always at her most beautiful when she's either fertile or in love. Well, 5 things happen when a woman is in love. Her skin glows because she's radiant, because she's exuding that loving energy, and that's when I created my highlighter, that highlight step. her eyes capture attention because she's trying to get her suitor. So I'm like, oh, line the eyes, mascara, flirty lashes. That's it. Her cheeks flush on a cellular level because she's blushing because she's in love. And that is this blush that I created. And then her lips get engorged with blood because she wants to make out. So that's the lipstick. And I realized when I put these five products on any woman, regardless of her skin tone, her age, her facial features, it restored her uniqueness to its most polished, beautiful, radiant state. And that is why it works on everyone. So What Not's Wear gave me the opportunity to teach women everywhere, no matter where they're from, that they have the right to celebrate and enlighten themselves and feel empowered. And that was a game changer for my career.
And it's not that serious. And I do feel like now everyone is morphing into the same face. I feel like it's a mix of the Kardashians and Olivia Coppo.
Yes.
But
yes.
to go back to the basics and just highlight what you already have. I was also watching a YouTube video of you teaching a gal a date night 5-minute face. Yeah. And I love what you said about, and I feel the same about, like, if someone's eventually going to see you after a workout on the beach first thing in the morning. So cool. If that's your hobby or, you know, to do the contour, all that. But if you really want to look like yourself, there's a way to do that. That's simple. And okay. So how did What Not to Wear even come to you? How did that even happen?
It was so crazy. So Stacey London and I had worked together for many years on photo shoots. She was a fashion stylist and I would be a makeup artist, and we would shoot for Mademoiselle magazine when it started. We would shoot for Nylon magazine. She had worked at Vogue. I mean, we knew each other from photo shoot world. And she was cast first. And they had cast her and another stylist, and I think the hairdresser, and they couldn't find a makeup person. So she said, hey, have you looked at Carmendy? And at the time, I had been doing a lot of live television as a spokesperson for like Elme and Bath & Body Works and Maybelline and different companies like that. So I was camera ready, if you will, because they would have me on as like, what are the spring trends in makeup, right? And I was doing a lot of interviews with editors. So I was primed for this opportunity. And so when they had me come in and audition, they gave me the job on the spot. And I'm like, okay, well, what are we actually doing? So the very first season was like filmed in a tiny little apartment in Long Island City. And then we never knew that 10 years later, 117 countries still being shown today, that this would have been the makeover show of America and like define that era. It was pretty awesome.
Unbelievable. And such a positive show. You watched it and you felt better. It's very much like why I love that show and I love the new iteration of Queer Eye, because you just leave feeling better because someone's stuck in a rut. Yes, shiny, happy. Someone is stuck in a rut or they went through a hard time and they just need a little help. And how you treated these people, these women who were probably intimidated by makeup, maybe they'd never worn it, was just so kind. And you really showed them the way. And I just love the chair spin when they got a glimpse of themselves. Oh my gosh. It just is the best.
It was so fun. And it was also, again, with the 5-minute face, this was a less intimidating way for them to learn how to do makeup and continue to do makeup at home. Nowadays, when I see TikTok and Instagram and YouTube tutorials with the heavy layers, number one, who has the time? Number two, it makes people feel insecure if they can't master that. And it takes away from celebrating, again, the uniqueness of who they are. Mm-hmm. So trying to get that message instilled on television was to me probably, it was the most glorifying moment of my career, was being able to get that message across to people. Now that we're in this space, and that show's no longer on, and I'm seeing what's happening, I'm seeing an uptick of insecurity in so many young girls, which is painful for me. And that is why hopefully there will be a turnaround when we're going to see a return to natural beauty, because we are so much more advanced as women. How can we be more insecure? That doesn't make any sense. We need to be more secure in our own skin. Just last night, I was at a beauty event, and the most beautiful woman ever says to me, how do I feel comfortable going out without makeup? I said, oh my God, I'm looking at this beautiful creature like, right now. Wash it off and walk outside. Makeup is a tool of empowerment. It's not a tool of insecurity. We have to use it to celebrate ourselves, not to hide or change or I'm not good enough. We're all good enough. Every one of us. You just have to find the beauty you possess, but it does start from within.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And you've been in this business for so long. What are some positive changes you've seen and some negative changes you've seen with social media, pre-social media, post-social media?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's the conundrum, is there's so many pluses and so many minuses. The pluses are as community. We find our community. We actually have the ability to choose who we do want to follow, who we do want to learn from, who's going to make us feel good inside. At the same time, we get bombarded with algorithms of negative things, things that make us feel insecure, things that make us feel like we have to keep up with that or we're not good enough if we do this or that. But I think, you know, we all have it inside of us, each one of us, our soul and our spirit. If you get quiet, if you turn off social media and you get quiet, whether it's through meditation, breathing, or just sitting still, you know the answers inside. And you can then choose again, I'm no longer going to follow this. It makes me feel bad. If you watch this one person over and over again, and it's always making you feel stressed, filled with anxiety, or feeling insecure about yourself, you need to stop watching it. I used to say this about the old rag mags, right? You go to the nail salon and there'd be like People and OK and all those magazines. And it's like a celebrity has cellulite. And it was like bullying in a magazine, right? Well, social media, there's so much bullying going on, negativity, but you, just like you can put down the magazine, you can choose not to follow that person.
Right.
And follow something that's going to be uplifting and beneficial for you.
I completely agree. I think the key is boundaries, whatever that means for you.
And I love the positivity of it is body positivity, age positivity. We are seeing women celebrated in every single stage of their life now. Menopause is now, you know, more normalized. Aging's more normalized. Size inclusivity, you know, every color, every creed, every belief, everything. That is beautiful. That's something that my generation didn't see, and especially the ones behind me. So that has been really celebratory.
No, that, I mean, oh my gosh, if it had been this when I was in middle school, high school, I would have had a much different experience, but I'm so glad that we're there now.
There used to be a shop in the mall that in the town I grew up in, and it was 356, which were sizes. And if you were not 356, you couldn't shop there. And I was never a 356. And I remember walking past there always feeling bad about myself. And it's like, you can never get away with that today. And thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. So let's talk about your line, Carmen D. Beauty. Yeah. I've been trying it and I have to just gush over my first favorites.
Okay.
First of all, the concealer stick is unreal. I have concealer issues where I have really deep set eyes and I have like one line under that I've just like always had, and I have the worst creasing issues. And I usually will do a cream and I just use less, but then it's just not really covering. This really covers and it stays put and it's not creasing.
It's so good, right? Well, here's the thing about 30 years of experience with all the trends and everything that comes and goes, and also my own skin starting at 15, now I'm 52, I've seen my own skin texture change. I create products. I'm in the lab creating these products, and I tested on a girl who is 18 and a woman who's 80. It's got to work on both sides for it to work on everyone. And that's what a lot of these cosmetic companies are not doing. They're creating these products, but they're not really testing it. They're slapping it on a model, taking a photo, and selling it to you. I make sure that it works on all types of skin, and I want to make sure that it's going to be timeless. It's not going to be a trend, because these are your staples. These are your fundamentals, the things that you wear every single day. So they have to work. And liquid concealers, they get slippy, like slip and slide, and they get creasy. But with a stick concealer, not a pot cream, because that could be too thick and opaque. Mm-hmm. But with this stick, it's sheer enough where you can build it, but it's not opaque enough to where you're masking.
It's also not drying. So yeah, it's not drying and it's easy. Like I just did a little with my, you can do a little with your finger if you're on the, yeah. I didn't have to like use a brush, do a whole thing. I did a little with my finger. It was really easy to use and it stays. Also your Lit From Within primer. Yeah. I have a primer obsession because my face eats makeup. So I have a primer obsession. This is so good. I just love it.
This was the hardest thing. This and my foundation that's coming soon, which I'm wearing now, which you're going to love, but it's not available till January. But the Lit From Within I work so hard on because when it comes to primers, most primers are very silicone-y, right? They feel like slimy on the skin. And you're like, wait a minute, it feels weird. And then it's like, yeah, your makeup might glide on, but your skin doesn't feel so good. And then the other primers are mattifying, so they're drying, and it's almost like makeup goes on chalky. So the Lit From Within Daily Skin Prep is hydration, it's moisture, it's glow, and then it leaves that silky, smooth finish. And because it has the glow, it makes you look like you've had the most expensive facial in like one little application. And this way, if you choose not to wear makeup that day and just wear the primer, then your skin looks glowing and you're gonna get compliments. And then if you do wear makeup on top of it, it's gonna glide on without being drying and it's gonna look like your skin's gonna just look radiant from, you know, within. That's why it's called Lit From Within.
Yeah, it gives you the good canvas to lay everything else on top of. Also,
I also mix it with foundation if I want a tinted moisturizer. A lot of times I'll just do the Lit From Within and then use that stick concealer just a little bit.
Yes.
And that's all you need. Yeah.
So I'll get one color foundation and I will mix it with a primer in the winter when I'm more, just like cut it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll definitely be doing that with this. I also love your gloss. It's not super crazy sticky. It's really hydrating. I have PTSD with gloss because when I was in middle school, the MAC lip gloss was really in.
Yes.
And I would go to middle school dances with my MAC lip gloss and the crimped hair. And then the wind would blow and like it would stick to all my friends and I, we looked crazy. So I stayed away from gloss for years. But yours, it really stays on, but it's also hydrating and it's also not that gunky, sticky feeling.
Yes. And again, you know, being a makeup artist all my life, I have every gloss. I have the long wearing gloss. I have the never rub off gloss that you have to literally take off with a blowtorch. I have the sticky gloss. I've tried them all. Right. And I want to feel comfortable wearing certain things. And if I'm not comfortable, I'm not going to sell it to you. So I always loved a sheer lip gloss that had sheer color that was never sticky. It was hydrating. It's the kind of gloss that you are going to be reapplying all the time just because it feels so good. It's almost like an addiction. It's like getting a little massage on the lips and then it just leaves you feeling hydrated and your lips look so good, but it's not over the top and it doesn't bleed and it doesn't get like stuck in your dry patches. And when I use it, I don't get dry lips anymore. And that's the other thing too, is every single product I'm involved in, a lot of these celebrity brands that you're buying or these name brands you're buying, they're not being created by a true professional.
Right.
They're being created because it's like a company that's like pumping out something new, or it's a group of people that are just hired to do so. I've done hundreds of thousands of faces, all skins. I listen to everybody. What do you like? What do you don't like? That's why my I Got You mascara is one of the biggest sellers we have, because I listened to women. They said, I want a mascara that doesn't smudge, doesn't budge, doesn't cause raccoon eyes, but I don't like waterproof because it's impossible to get off.
Right.
So with the I Got You mascara, it's a tube technology. So when you apply it, it seals, doesn't smear, doesn't run. But when you go to wash your face at night, you just do this and it slips right off like little tubes in the sink. Voila.
So good. I also love what you said about testing on women from 18 to in their 50s. That is something.
80s.
Yeah. That is something I know a lot of brands don't do. That is really, really cool. So,
well, that's the thing. As women, we all have to realize we're a sisterhood, 15 to 80, everything in between. Like it doesn't just stop at 25. Right? Which is like a lot of these cosmetic companies are just going to like, oh, we're going to focus on like, you know, this age to this age and then stop. We're all in this together and we all want to feel beautiful forever. So.
Right. And some of the brands are so light and barely there. And certain brands I call makeup for teenagers at the beach. Like, yes. It's like makeup for like a 17-year-old model who's going to the beach. Cause right. It's like, either she doesn't need anything.
But it's either that or the hardcore over the top. So this is a buildable brand. It's lightweight. It's like a watercolor. It's up to you. I give you the tools and you can build it and wear it heavy, wear it light, wear it in between, but you're never going to go wrong.
No. And your eyeliner, I love the shape, how it's so, so fine, because you can really keep it very close to the lash line, like really keep it natural and it's easy to do because sometimes depending on the size, it can look like a crayon, you know, circle really fast if you're not like an expert at it.
It's true. And, you know, I know that liquid liner is a big trend, but liquid liner is very difficult for most people. And if you are running out of the house and you have 5 minutes, nobody's going to do a liquid liner. They might save that for a night out when they have more time to get ready. When it comes to pencils, one thing that was driving me crazy when I would see women wearing eye makeup is that they wouldn't get along the roots of their lashes. And that's because the pencil's usually really thick. So by creating a micro-tipped pencil, this way you can just wiggle it into the roots and create a very, you know, kind of detailed line. And then you can even smudge it with your finger. So it's just the illusion of a thicker looking lash line. It's in the roots. It's fine tipped. You don't have to sharpen it. And I wanted it to be creamy and smooth. So if you wanted to use a brush with it and blended it out, you can. But also I wanted you to be able to wash it off.
Right. And I'm wearing a full Carmody face right now. And I love the eggplant liner too. I love that you have the eggplant option. It's really flattering and lovely. And I think people forget about that.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, is when color choices, I wanted midnight black because black for when you want to go extreme. The espresso brown, which comes in the 5 Minute Face collection, because brown, and this is a rich brown, not a warm, you know, chestnut brown. It's that good brown that everyone can wear. The eggplant is not too purple, so it's subtle. And then, of course, the galaxy gray, which is like a little bit of sparkle, but like a really cool gray. I will be coming out with a beautiful deep emerald and a sapphire blue. That's going to be probably next year. And those are also wearable colors. Because I always make sure that whatever I do is going to be wearable for everybody.
So we all need to talk to someone from time to time. We could all use a good therapy session. Where it gets hard is it can feel really daunting to do the research to find the right person for you. It can be really expensive. And trying to find time in your day to leave your house or to leave work to go to a physical appointment is real tricky sometimes, especially after COVID. So that's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp will match you with a virtual therapist in 24 hours. They do all the work for you. And if you don't love the first person they match you with, you can go back to the drawing board and they can match you with someone else. It's also all virtual, so you don't have to leave your office, you don't have to leave your apartment, you don't have to leave your house. If you're going through a rough patch right now and you need a little support, this is a great option for you. And even if you're not, even if you just need to vent about a bad day you had, or you just want a listening ear, try BetterHelp. And for 10% off of your first month of virtual therapy, use code SPEAKOUT at checkout. That's code SPEAKOUT at checkout for 10% off your first month of virtual therapy. For more information, just scroll down to the bottom of the show notes for this episode. And thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this podcast. So you also have in your line a fan brush. Can you explain what we're using this for? Because I think people get intimidated and they don't know what to do.
Well, I don't blame them for being intimidated, because when you watch it, when you watch these videos, you're like, everybody's doing something different and there's all these brushes and all these layers. And this is a tried and true classic. And I don't know if you guys remember Carmendizing on what not to wear, but going back to my 5 Minute Face number one step, which is a woman's in love when she's radiant. And this is to apply the highlighter. And the reason why the fan brush is because you want to apply it first on top of your cheekbones and a little on your temple, like a C formation. With the fan brush, this just delivers the right amount of product. a lot of these videos, you see this like glow and it's like you can see it to the moon. It's way too much. The fan brush allows you just to get that highlighter in the right area. And then you flip it over and you apply it underneath the eyebrow to lift the eye and on the inside corner of the eye, because we all recede there and it gets dark. And this is an easy way to pop a little light. So those three key places, that's what Carmendizing was all about, and it still works today, and it's fast.
It's fast. And your whole technique is really for makeup in real life, because there's, you know, for a photo shoot, for like an event, but you know, your makeup is really for when someone's seeing you in person.
Yes. Yeah. Brunch with your girls, or yeah, going to school, or going to work, or like seeing your family. And listen, I'm not poo-pooing 5 layers of contour and big lashes. Knock yourself out, go for it. But if you went out to the streets of New York and you collected 200 women walking around and brought them into a room, chances are there might be 10 of them that are full on like that. The rest of people are just trying to live their lives and look as good as they can, and they don't have a lot of options. This is an easy, foolproof way to get it. I call them the fundamental five.
Right. It's very realistic, and there's a lot of experience behind it.
Yes.
Very, exactly. Very cool. Can you give some tips, some do's and don'ts for makeup for over 45, for over 50?
Yeah, definitely. If you're using powder foundation, you need to stop. That is a dated old product, and it settles into lines. It makes you look dull and lifeless. So you want to get rid of any powder foundations you might have. The other thing is, be careful of all these creams that you see, all these sticks, because although they look really fun and it's like, oh, blend, when you tend to have lines and wrinkles and skin that isn't totally even, it's going to slip and slide. So you want to go with like jet milled powders that I've created, because it's going to stay in place and be light. The other thing is blush colors. I see a lot of women that are a little older that are using the wrong shades of blush. Even though this looks like a crazy color, there is a reason behind my universal mm-hmm. love blush, which is one shade for all. I went to museums. I went to the Met, and I would go to different museums. I even studied it online, and I was looking at these Renaissance paintings. And I noticed that there was a color of cheek that these famous artists would put on their portraits to make these beautiful women look like they were flushing naturally. What I did realize is there's no women of color in Renaissance paintings. So then I started looking at paintings in the 1700s where they started painting women of color. And sure enough, that same kind of hue would turn up. So I took this idea to a friend of mine who was a painter, and she said, well, hun, that is the color of red blood underneath skin. So if you put skin on top of red blood, you come up with this shade. And this shade is why you look at it and you're like, really? If you use a big fluffy powder brush and you apply it lightly, it gives you that perfect natural flush that everybody can wear, and it looks super duper natural. So that is the kind of reasoning behind that. So women that are older, put it higher on the apples of your cheeks, use a fluffy brush and sweep up towards the top of the ear. That's another must do. Don't make the mistake of doing it down here like the old days. You want to go up high and top of the ear
to lift everything up. And it stays on too. It really stays on. And you're right. We have to remember with blush, it's not lipstick. So the color of the blush might look like crazy to you, but how it goes on is so natural and so lovely.
And you don't have to change it with your lipstick and your outfit like you do. Like you said, with lipstick or eye makeup, you might want to like go with your outfit. One blush fits all, because that is something, again, which is creating that natural blushing from within, youthful look.
Yes. Okay. So Carmendy, what are you doing with your own skincare? Because you look unbelievable, and I've seen you in real life. So there are no tricks. you look the same in real life as you do on Instagram right now.
Thank you. I just got called out. Some woman went off on a post where I was doing my skincare routine, and she's like, yeah, and you've got all this Botox and fillers. I'm like, I have no fillers in my face. This is, again, going back to when I was the chubby kid with the round face that was teased and bullied. it paid off growing older because as I lost volume, I actually kept a lot of it. But yes, I do Botox in my forehead. Absolutely. Okay. And I do Fraxel lasers once every 2 years because I have melasma. And melasma is the brown pigmentation problem that happens when you've seen too much sun. And growing up in Southern California, I have a lot of sun damage. The benefits to getting a laser is that it rejuvenates collagen production. I am diligent use of Dr. Rose Mary Angleton's skincare line, Rose MD Skin.
I saw that on Instagram. She is your facialist as well?
She's my derm.
Okay.
I believe more in a derm over a facialist. If you have the right skincare, you don't need a facial. And she, her brightening cleanser is hands down the best cleanser. It cuts through makeup. It leaves you squeaky clean. You have that nice bubble, you know, effect. There's no residue. I use her skin brightening tonic. I use her retexturizing booster and her signature moisturizer. That is my every single day. I use Osea on my body, their collagen body lotion and the Osea body oil. I'm obsessed with it. It's a problem. Like I go through buckets of it. Especially because the one fun thing that you'll get when you're in your 50s is the crepey bits. Like you get these like funny creepy sections and you're like, oh my God, my mom. And so anything that's collagen or hyaluronic acid is really good. So yeah, so Rose MD for face, Osea for body, higher dose infrared mask, their red light face mask. They just came out with one for neck and chest. So it's called the neck enhancer because that's the one place where I'm seeing a lot of aging is here. So that is like a red light mask that I put on my face, neck and chest and just chill out like 2-3 times a week.
I love higher dose. I have the sleeping bag, the sauna sleeping bag.
Isn't it great?
It's great. I got it during COVID when I was stuck in my apartment. I was like, I need to create my own spa and you can like clean it, roll it up, stick it under something. It's so good.
You have the insert blanket where you can just like get into the little cocoon and slip in there. And the PEMF mat's really great too. It's a pulsed electromagnetic field technology. It's like crushed crystals that warms up. That one's really good too.
Oh my gosh, I need that one too. I just have to tell you about this amazing, gorgeous woman named Avani Nayak. She's the co-founder of Avani Derm Spa and Nayak Plastic Surgery. And you can head to episode 513 to learn more about her. Avani is a skincare expert. And she's the kind of gal who looks about 15 years younger than she actually is, but in the most natural, glowing way. So everyone always wants to know exactly what she's doing. Avani has her very own skincare line by Avani Derm Spa that is full of medical grade products that are fully backed by science. So they will really and truly change your skin. My sister-in-law has the best skin, and she is obsessed with Avani's Koji pads because they help with sunspots and texture, and they're also really great for hyperpigmentation. I personally love the Peptide Hydration Serum. It is a huge dose of oil-free moisture with peptides and hyaluronic acid, which we all need, and it's super light, so it's perfect for any skin type and for any skincare routine. One of the best things about this serum is that one bottle can literally last you 4 to 5 months, which is amazing. I'm also loving her Radiant Light Moisturizer. It feels like silk, and it's also jam-packed with all of these active ingredients that both target fine lines and protect your skin from environmental stressors. Ingredients like ceramides, peptides, green tea, resveratrol, and caffeine. So for 10% off of any of Avani's products, go to dermspastore.com and enter code GLOW10 at checkout. That is code GLOW10 at checkout at dermspastore.com for 10% off. And for more information, just scroll down to the bottom of the show notes for this episode. So Carmody, what are you looking forward to now? Like what's up next? What are you excited about?
Okay, so I'm so excited because I have been in the not just the beauty industry for all my life doing makeup, but also product development. So my products, you know, were considered, you know, normal price range 2 years ago. They were like $36 a piece. And I was like, this is ridiculous. How do I get this cost down so everyone can afford it? And it's all about packaging. I got rid of secondary packaging, which is the box it comes from. Because when was the last time you bought a mascara or a lipstick and put it right back in the box that you got it from after using it?
Never.
It goes right in the trash. Right. So I was able to get Carmody Beauty down to a price point where the most expensive thing we have is $16. So you're looking at $12, $15, $14, $16. So we are about to launch, and I've been working on this all year. So this is my big announcement because nobody knows. We're launching on Amazon. So not only are you going to be able to get it right away, returns are really easy if a color doesn't work for you, but also for a price that you can afford. So Amazon is coming.
That's so exciting. That price point is amazing. Things are getting really just out of hand right now in the beauty industry.
Can I tell you a secret? And I shouldn't even be saying this, but I have been in labs where I have seen them pouring a $70 lipstick next to a $12 lipstick, and it's the exact same formula, different packaging, a different shade. You are paying for a label. Don't be fooled. Mm-hmm. Seriously, most eye pencils come from one manufacturer, one, and they will sell it for $10 or they will sell it for $40. It's the same product. So I actually custom made a lot of these formulas and had it done in a way that we do not sacrifice on quality, but you don't need the extra package.
No.
Why do you need the box?
You really don't. That's amazing. Good for you. I'm so excited about the Amazon launch.
Thank you. Me too.
So exciting. Okay. So Carmody, you're also an author.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
Okay, so The 5-Minute Face was the first book that I wrote, and that was to teach people all about the basics. I mean, I was a makeup artist in the fashion industry, knowing by being on What Not to Wear that people just didn't have the knowledge. We didn't have social media back then. And we had a few makeup books out there, like Kevin O'Quinn's book, but it was over the top makeup. So I wrote The 5-Minute Face. I think it was like 2008 was the first one. Then I wrote Get Positively Beautiful, which was a book about how women need to start looking at themselves differently, going back to my philosophy of celebrating your uniqueness and loving the skin you're in. Then I did one called Crazy Busy Beautiful, which was just 600 beauty tips, crazy beauty tips, like fast and easy. And then I did one called Bloom, A Girl's Guide to Growing Up Gorgeous. And it was for tweens. And it was really about how they could celebrate their individual selves and not fall victim to a lot of the things that they see on social media and just like real simple basics for young girls. I'm working on a fifth. I don't know how long it's going to be. It's a labor of love, and it's less about makeup and more about redefining beauty, especially as we get older.
Good for you. I'm really excited for that one. Okay. So before we wrap up, I have some rapid fire questions that I ask everyone. So just say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite beauty hack or trick?
Yes. White sugar to scrub your face. Never use a face scrub.
Ooh. Do you have a one or two can't live without beauty product?
Absolutely. I got you mascara and my Lip From Within Daily Prep for sure.
Yeah. I was going
to. Oh, and Dune sunscreen. Dune sunscreen is another one.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Do you have a favorite or best advice you've ever received?
Yes. The best advice I ever received was take every job and learn every lesson.
That's great.
Which I don't do now. Once you learn your lessons, you don't take every job. Then you know.
Of course. Is there anything that you would like to speak out about, meaning bring awareness to, highlight, a cause, a person to follow?
Yes, I'm involved with two different charities, the Look Good, Feel Better charity, which is about helping women that are going through cancer treatment feel really good about themselves by learning how to use makeup to put their brows back on and feel good, you know, better about themselves. So I really stand behind the Look Good, Feel Better charity, which you can follow. And then also right now I'm in a campaign, which is the Not Alone Challenge, which is helping people that are suffering from mental illness, especially during the holiday season and the winter blues. And this is, I've donated the 5-Minute Face to that. It was started by Jewel, the singer. And it's really good. So check out the hashtag Not Alone Challenge and also Look Good, Feel Better.
Carmody. I haven't heard of either of those. So thank you so much for talking.
Oh my God, there's so many. Then there's the Cancer Cartel. That's another one. The Cancer Cartel is constantly helping women pay for their bills as they're going through cancer. And then my friends have one called X Experts, which is also really good. The X Experts are helping women that are going through divorce. Because I mean, as somebody who went through a divorce and had no help, like, to have a community of people that you can tap into for lawyer advice, how to deal with splitting up kids. That's another one.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I can't wait to follow all of those.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. This is so fun.
This is so fun. Thank you so much for being here. Where can we find you? Where can we follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram is Carmody Beauty. TikTok is Carmody _ Beauty. Facebook is just Carmody. And for now, you can buy the products at Carmody Beauty or scentbeauty.com and Amazon coming soon.
Amazon coming soon, for real. If you want to really learn how to do your makeup, and if you want to really learn your beauty tips and tricks of the day, everyone needs to follow you. They're quick, easy, bite-sized, easy to understand. You're such a good follow.
Not complicated. Breezy for you guys.
Oh my gosh. One of my favorite videos is when you went through different foundation brushes. It's just simple. Thank you. Yeah.
Simple. Yeah. Yes. Or like my favorite one is when, cause I just did it and then I went ahead and filmed it, was when I sneezed while putting on mascara. Cause who hasn't done that?
We've all done that. We've literally all done that. Thank you so much for being here. This was so fun.
It was so fun. Thank you, honey.
Thank you for listening to Glow Up and Speak Out. If you liked this episode, it would mean so much if you could follow, rate, and review the show on Apple or Spotify. And for more content, make sure to check out our Instagram at Glow Up and Speak Out.